How do we deal with angry people? Okay. So there is weakness and there is wickedness. Weakness is something we all have. Weakness means there are times when we become weak, when the urge to become angry just comes within us and then it overpowers us. And then we do something terribly wrong which we should not have done. We speak something, we do things we should not have done. And then we ourselves feel regretful. Eh? We feel, what happened? I should not have done like this. We apologize, we are regretful. We feel bad about it and we acknowledge it was wrong. So basically, we could say that inside us is our conscience and our intelligence. So the conscience at an emotional level tells us, don't do this. You know, if we feel bad when we do it. And intelligence tells us with a rational way, hey, this is not right. So these are two inner checks within us which stop us from acting wrongly. But sometimes that urge of anger overpowers both of them. And then we burst out. We do certain things. So that is weakness. But after that, does both conscience and intelligence come back? Hey, I should not have done that. So that is weakness. But when there is wickedness, the conscience has become muted. And the intelligence is used not to control the anger, but the intelligence is controlled by the anger. So weakness makes us hot-headed. Wickedness makes us cold-blooded. When somebody is cold-blooded, they make a complete, very systematic, diabolical plan how I can hurt this person the most. So it's anger is basically like a hot emotion. Hatred is like a emotion that has become cold, calculative, manipulative. So, generally, most people around us, in our normal relationships, they are not wicked. But it's a continuum. So, it's a continuum, if you say like a spectrum, at the top of it is weakness, at the bottom of it is wickedness. Now, those who are having wickedness, to give forgiveness to wickedness is foolishness. Now, suppose some terrorists are on a rampage. And they are shooting people. And some police come over there. And the police sees the terrorist. And the terrorist's weapon has fallen down. And the police says, I'll forgive you. The terrorist will pick up the weapon and shoot the police only. Isn't it? So, when somebody is at that extreme of wickedness, then the strong action has to be taken over there. So, of course, I'm starting with that extreme. But I'm talking about a spectrum. For most people, if they get angry, but they don't, they're not cold-blooded about their anger. Most people around us, they have weakness, not wickedness. But if wickedness is there, when their conscience, they don't even feel I did anything wrong. And their intelligence, they use it not to control their anger, but to hurt us with that cold-blooded anger. Then we need to create distance from them. And we need to take some strong action. But on a routine level, generally if people become angry, it's best that we try to help them deal with the anger. Rather than saying that, you know, this person is here, I am here and this person is attacking me. We try to see that this person is here. Anger as an anartha is here and I am here. So let us, both of us, help each other to deal with that anger. So that means separate the person from their problematic behavior. When if we label the person, this person is an angry person, this person is a short-tempered person, then we reduce that person to their problematic behavior. Then what happens? We and they become antagonists. This person is victimizing me and I will hit back at them or whatever. We don't have to get into that victim-victimizer narrative. We, at a practical level, we may have to deal with things in an appropriate way. But at least internally we see the person as separate from their anartha. They are here, their anger is here. And then we try to help them. So I and you, if you are in a close, committed relationship, you see that I and you are both partners, and let us try to work on this anger together. So that would mean that this is, of course, as I think that if it's the complete side of weakness, where they also acknowledge its weakness and they want to deal with it, then we can see them as separate from their problem behavior, and then see how we can help them to deal with it. So that one way to do that is that it's important to know the triggers of the other person and try as much as possible to avoid those triggers. Like say, if we are going on a road and there is a bump over there, and we are going at high speed, we don't notice the bump, and then suddenly, bump! Then what happens? We get severely jolted. But next time we are going along that road, we will go carefully. Slow down. So similarly, if we talk with that, we observe that person, we ourselves talk with that person, and then try to understand what are the things that trigger them, especially. What are the things that make them angry? Then, when those triggers are coming, we don't do anything to provoke them further. See, all of us have some willpower, but our willpower is a finite resource. It's not an infinite resource. So, if somebody has had a very tough day at work and they come back in the evening and there is something which they have done which is troubling us, and then we bring that up to them. They have had 10 annoying or exasperating things, irritating things that have happened to them, and then we bring the 11th one. And then what happens? All the frustration of those 10 things plus this 11th thing becomes a trigger for the venting of all the frustration of all those 10 things. So then what we need to do is, we are, rather than, okay, this thing needs to be dealt with, but not now. So if we have some healthy channels of communication, that means that if that person is already under stress, they're very close to their triggering point, then if they just tell, oh, today I had a very tough day. Okay. If they can feel confident enough to tell that to us, we have that much closeness, that much open channel of communication, then we also understand that we don't trigger them at that time. And then, if we can have some time, maybe once a week, once a fortnight, as is appropriate, where we have a heart-to-heart talk, then what happens if they have something which is nagging them, if we have something which is nagging us, in a context which is not inflammatory, say maybe the two people who are sitting, they have some focused time together, they sit and maybe get themselves in a good consciousness, maybe do some kirtan or hear something spiritual, uplifting that calms them, and then after that they discuss the good things of the week or the fortnight and the bad things of that week. And then, see, then what happens? We can see each other without feeling threatened by what the other person is speaking. If we are ourselves insecure, then that person's anger adds to our insecurity. So basically what I'm trying to say by all this is, what we can do for that person is help them manage their triggers better. Everybody has things which set them off. So first, what we can do is, we don't become a trigger for them. And secondly, if they're already near that trigger, we help them come off the cliff, not push them further down the cliff. That way, we can help them. But sometimes some people just have to just go wild, and it's best that we keep a distance. Sometimes you might just have to, they're just angry and they're doing things. Generally, things just spoken in anger, don't take them too seriously. What happens is, we sometimes hold, you spoke like that to me, and you hold it for their life against them. You know, how dare you speak like this again? In my book on the Ramayana, I have talked about this. Now, when Ram had gone to chase after Maricha in the form of a deer, at that time, when Maricha spoke in the voice of Sita, what happened was, Maricha spoke in the voice of Ram, "Hey Lakshman, hey Sita, help!" So Sita became frantic with anxiety. She said, "Lakshman, go and help Ram." And Lakshman said, Ram cannot be in any danger. This is simply the demon impersonating as Ram. No, he's in danger. Go to help him. And then what happened is, that she in her desperations, she spoke a grievous accusation, made a grievous accusation against Lakshman. He said, you know, you have an evil eye on me. And you've just been waiting for an opportunity to exploit me. Now Lakshman had never thought like that. Those words were horribly painful for him. Just those words seared him more than the arrows of the biggest demons that he had faced. He just moved away from there, just to leave. So, but there is no description in the Ramayana that Lakshman held it against Sita afterwards. It's not that after they found Sita and they came back, then Lakshman told Sita, you have to apologize to me now. How dare you speak like that to me? So the point which I make is that don't see intention in what is spoken intention. If somebody is intention, they have a lot of pressure and then they speak something. Don't see intention in that. So all of us sometimes situations just bring out the worst within us. So when something brings out the worst within us, if that is not the way we behave normally, then just in an extreme situation of stress we spoke or did something like that, then just as we wouldn't want the other person to hold it against us, similarly we shouldn't hold it against them. So just understand that sometimes situations can get to even the toughest of us. Be a little understanding. But if that person starts becoming habitually angry, you know, aggressive and violent or whatever, then we need to create some distance. And then, if they want to be helped, we can help them. But if they don't even acknowledge that I have an issue, they don't even think I need to be helped, then we need to, at that time, recognize I cannot help this person. I have to make sure that I am safe. I keep myself safe. And sometimes then the consequences of their actions have to hit them. And that's how they learn. So it's painful, but sometimes that's what we have to do. So it will depend a lot on situation to situation. So I talk about three main points. First is, don't understand their triggers and make sure that we don't trigger them. Second is, see them as separate from their problems, problematic behavior, and help them as much as you can. So, and the third point I talked about in the conclusion, that there's weakness, there's wickedness. I came back to that in the end. So whenever there's weakness and somebody succumbs, then don't see intention in what is spoken intention. But if somebody has wickedness, then better keep a distance from and protect ourselves. Does that answer your question?
Thank you.
Yes.
So Hanuman had